All right. Without any further ado, a friend of the program, Damon Bruce, joins us from the West Side. Is that how I say it? West Side? No.
Side.
West Coast.
Yeah,
West 95.7 yeah. The Game in San Fran. Damon, how you been? How are you?
Hey, Damon.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. If you want to say West Side like that, do so at your own risk.
Okay. I try to sound as white as possible when I do it. I do want to get to you and your opinions on the Raiders and Antonio Brown and the Niners and the Warriors. A lot to talk to you about. You're a perfect guest for today. But I do want to start you off with some college basketball. In your neck of the woods, and of course you're an Indiana grad like me. I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, God, must we?
St. Mary's, they're out of Berkeley. They upset the Gonzaga. How much does that move the needle in a big, massive market like yours with a small team nearby like that?
With the Golden State Warriors playing the Houston Rockets tonight, with the Raiders having a very interesting free agency, and with the Niners not doing enough, I can tell you that if it weren't for the fact that I am a college basketball junkie, it probably doesn't even get mentioned on the air today.
Wow.
Except me bringing it up, knowing that it'll get very little response. People here, the Bay Area is a decidedly pro sports town. Mm. Now, if Cal could ever get its act together, if Cal football or Cal basketball ever did anything, I do think the people would buy in a little bit. But we could care less about Stanford. We could care even less about St. Mary's. And that's just the way it is out here. I never understood it. I wish it weren't that way, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, no, I agree. Being from originally from Boston myself, which is obviously another pro town, I hear you. I'm a huge college basketball and football guy, and you end up talking about the same four teams all the time. Of course, you know, with situations like what happened with Oakland and Antonio Brown is different, but I hear you. Sometimes you just want to, you know, let's go down another direction. But you gotta get what the people want, right? You gotta give them what they want.
You gotta feed the masses their opiates, right?
That's right. That's right. All right, Damon. About our Indiana Hoosiers, how would you describe this season? And what do we have to do to get in?
This season has made me like my alma mater less than I have in a really long time. I mean, it's a season that pushed me away a little bit as a fan. I had great expectations for Romeo Langford, Juwan Morgan, and year two of Archie. I'm looking at a coach who looks like he's in over his head in an awful lot of games. I watched an offense this year stagnate at an unbelievable rate that didn't make sense given the talent that the team had. But, you know, there were injuries. I'm just tired of excuses. Here's the deal. Here's reality for Indiana fans. You want to know what we are? We're no longer a marquee major college basketball program. We are perennially out of the top 25. We have so fallen behind what we used to consider the blue blood company that we kept with Kansas, UCLA, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. They have all gone so soaring past Indiana, who can't get out of its own driveway in terms of being a relevant basketball program again. You know, I'm hearing that we're the tough team to beat. We're going to go make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. We're the last four in. Great. That's good. We are playing better now. The last four games have gotten better. But I've been really angry at the season. I'm really disappointed. Romeo Langford was supposed to be something that mattered. It hasn't mattered at all.
Would you fire Archie Miller due to the colossal collapse he had and possibly hire one Steve Alford who's available?
No, I wouldn't touch Steve Alford with a 10-foot pole. You can't go backwards again. I mean, go get a real – like, I really don't care. I used to be very proud that Indiana never got involved in any scandal, never had any players going out of line. Like, I was cool having a Lily White program in terms of NCAA scandal.
Gotta pay.
And then, you know, bowing out in the Sweet 16. Like, I was proud of that. Yeah. I don't care anymore. I want Indiana to hire Rick Pitino. I want him to bang – whoever he needs to bang. I want cheating. I want a championship. I don't care who dies. Like, I'm no more Mr. Nice Guy. The nice guy role, Indiana self-immolated over a Kelvin Sampson, you know, thing that is really set us back 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be like Coach Pete in Blue Chips, right? I mean, I hear you. I'm with you. And that's why all these players should be paid. It's ridiculous, you know, in Division I hoops and football. You got to pay.
Yeah.
You know what matters about 1987? Nothing. Nothing.
I was at that game.
Nothing from 1987 has any business in any discussion in 2019. It's Indiana is now a shell of what it used to be. It's very, very sad. I don't know what to do.
Damon Bruce, a fellow Indiana Hoosier from San Francisco at 95.7 The Game, joining us. All right, before we dive really deep into the Raiders, the 49ers, according to Adam Schefter, did have an offer to Le'Veon Bell. How serious was it, if it's true?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you that the San Francisco 49ers and the San Francisco Giants are having a competition, and it's a stiff one, to see who can be second to the free agent. I mean, yeah. The amount of Giancarlo Stanton, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Justin Verlander, everyone sweepstakes that the Giants finished second to, now yeah. feels like the 49ers are, you know, just missing out. Close to Antonio Brown, close to Odell Beckham Jr., close to this, close to that, and not enough is happening as far as I'm concerned with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. You know, they are, you want to talk about a group that is absolutely selling memories? The San Francisco 49ers haven't been important since Jim Harbaugh left, and that was a long time ago. I mean, this is a perennial group of losers, and I really like Kyle Shanahan for a guy who hasn't even sniffed a winning record yet. Yeah. I think he's a smart young coach, but this team, it's got, you know, everyone's hurt all the time. They're always coming in second to the player that might have helped. Earl Thomas, Justin Houston, these are guys that I think should be signed by end of business on day one, day two, day three. You're running out of players. It's crazy. I thought that Williams, the tall receiver that the Raiders also just signed today, mm-hmm. is a guy that could have absolutely helped out Jimmy Garoppolo, who's trying to make a name for himself. And I'm just really surprised that, you know, John Lynch has showed us that the draft is something he's not great at. And when it comes to free agent signings, I don't know about that either. So there's a lot of faith just resting on Jimmy Garoppolo being the end-all, be-all of all their problems. But it's just, you know, it's very disappointing to see that the only real big free agent that is now linked with the Bay Area seems to be the rumors that Kevin Durant will be going somewhere else.
So you're saying you have a chance. Well, Kyler Murray could always come back and play for the A. Oh, no, well, no.
That's not happening either. No. Came in second there, too.
I was going to ask you, you know, Antonio Brown, and obviously very early, it's more everything looks great right now, or at least headed in the right direction. But, there's always a but with the Antonio Browns. I'm sorry. What's your overall gut feeling? What will the chemistry be like, do you think, come September, between Carr, if he's still there, John Gruden, and Greg Olsen?
If the big problem for Antonio Brown was that he couldn't get along with his quarterback, mm-hmm. he will not have that problem as long as Derek Carr is his quarterback. Derek Carr is good people. Derek Carr is the guy you'd want to marry your daughter. Derek Carr is a hardworking guy. All rumors and pretty much the facts of his career say that Antonio Brown was a pretty darn hardworking guy his entire career, too, and really right up until he was willing to play the dancing fool to get himself out of Pittsburgh. He really wasn't a problem. I look, it could work out, but it's the Raiders, so it could all blow up in their faces the first day they touch it, actually. Like, I have no idea. And the truth is, I don't care if they go 15-1 or 1-15, because they're going to Vegas. Like, the Raiders, if they had a hometown, I think could be doing an awful lot of celebrating right now. This all sounds like really good news for Las Vegas. How excited should Oakland be about any of this? Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I'll just say this. I thought that when they hired Mike Mayock from NFL Network, mm-hmm. like I laughed at that. I said, I really hope that Mike Mayock likes getting John Gruden's laundry and picking up lunch.
Right.
Gruden's going to do all of this. Well, I think Mayock has been pretty involved in all of this, and they have swung for some huge talent, and they've landed it. In the vacuum of this offseason, it's very interesting what the Raiders have done. But when you go back to last year, when they got rid of, you know, Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack, that is the signal of a long-term rebuild. You're asking everyone to have patience. Now you go out and make moves that are the opposite moves of patient and long-term rebuild. And so, you know, as usual, when you look at the Raiders and you look at it from 35,000 feet, you can't make any sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the plan? What's the direction? Or do you just change it by the day?
Yeah.
And that is seemingly what's going on.
Damon Bruce with us from 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco. How do you see the first time Antonio Brown goes Keyshawn Johnson on the sideline? How does John Gruden handle him? I mean, John Gruden sung his praises. What a great worker he is. What if he's throwing Gatorade jugs on the sideline and complaining about not getting the ball from Derek Carr? Does John Gruden step in and shut him down, or does he let him be AB?
John Gruden would lie about it. He'd tell you that what you saw isn't what you see.
Yeah.
Like, there's zero truth that ever comes out of that organization.
Yeah.
You can't trust anyone. I don't think you look at one thing and you say, oh, well, that's really going to matter because it could all go away, or maybe it doesn't. Like, I really don't know. The Raiders historically have been, you know, have had a locker room full of oddballs, and maybe this is just the latest. I really don't know what to expect, and to be totally honest with you, I really don't even care anymore. The Raiders have lost all credibility here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and I think with Antonio Brown, that it has nothing to do with his talent, which we all know is extraordinary. He's a me guy. He's not a win guy. To me.
Well,
I mean, that's the problem. And my thing is, I don't think he realized when he was on the field sometimes, just because he's not catching, you know, 10 passes for over 100 yards and 3 touchdowns does not mean he's not helping his team win. I mean, if he's, you know, been double covered all the time and allows other receivers, or it's Jordy Nelson, whoever, or your running game to prosper, I mean, at this point, he shouldn't care, but he's so obsessed with his own stats that I think it's, I don't know. I see disaster in the end.
Find a receiver who doesn't kind of fit that bill.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, you know, if you have problems with diva wide receivers, you need to stop watching the sport of football.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just part and parcel. And I also will say this about Antonio Brown. I wanted him on the 49ers. Like, I don't care if the guy shows up with a Lamborghini, YouTubing himself, and wanting as much social media engagement and parachuting in and wanting all this attention. Like, I don't care. You're not interesting unless it's a football game to me. Mm. And during a football game, this guy is a prime A number one badass. I would want him on my team every single game I ever had to go play. That's the way I feel about him. The fact that he quit on that team last year was bad.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the number one thing that could really rub things the wrong way with the Antonio Brown, who is in very much his pay attention to me stage of his career, he's not going to have any attention at all in Oakland. I mean, there'll be some national attention on him, but locally,
yeah.
I mean, the Raiders might as well be a high school team in terms of local interest compared to the 49ers.
Well, you don't see that changing?
Antonio Brown is about to go disappear a little bit, and that might set him off.
Yeah, but don't you think that's going to change? You don't think the local papers are going to add some local columnists, some more report, at least initially, through training camp to cover, if nothing else, just cover him?
No, I don't think anyone is doubling down on an investment that's leaving our market. There's going to be no reapproaching the Raiders as an interesting topic. This has been the longest, slow-rolling divorce in the history of sports. And, you know, I'm just – unless you're a diehard Raider Nation Raiders fan,
Yeah. You
don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. And Antonio Brown is about to find out that he just signed the Raiders with 12 wins won't be discussed nearly as much if the 49ers find their way to 5 wins. A 5-win 49er season is so much more important than a 12-win Raiders season out here now. It's just the way it is. They have set up this situation for themselves. Do you want to know who leaves the Bay Area to move to Las Vegas? Nobody. That's who. Who does that? You're basically saying, we can't cut it here anymore.
Yeah.
This is a part of the country that is for, you know, really hardworking, successful people, and we now got to go make hay somewhere else because we can't even be the most popular football team in the city of Oakland.
Did you want them to re-sign with the Coliseum, or did you want them to go play in Mexico or Memphis or whatever else they could have played up or in San Jose? I mean, would you have cared if they played this year?
I wanted them to have to play on the floating barge that Popeye had to fight on.
Damon, final question for me. When Klay Thompson blamed the fans for the loss to the Suns last week, how'd that go over locally?
Well, it didn't go over well, but there's no player, I think, with any market playing with more house money with the fan base than Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson could go and start hitting, you know, Warriors fans in the face with pies, and I don't think it would matter that much. We love Klay out here. There's Klaytheism is without a doubt the leading religion in the Bay Area right now.
Nice.
He is wrong because that was a game that I actually brought my wife to, and we attended it as fans.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not sitting with the media. The only problem with the Golden State Warriors is the Golden State Warriors right now yeah. and their effort level. When they want to come out and play a game, they're probably going to win it. When they want to mail it in, they're now getting blown out at home either by the Celtics or losing a nail-biter to the lowly Phoenix Suns. And, you know, you just it's bad optics. It rubs me the wrong way. It doesn't look good, but here I am also telling you it probably doesn't matter. You know, no Durant tonight in Houston. Whether they win or lose, it really doesn't matter. You know, the Warriors could lose by 80 points tonight.
Yeah.
They will be favored to win the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. You know, so when they decide that they want to be the best team on the planet, they still are, even with their faults, even with their flaws, even with the minuses. But I'll tell you, this is the first year where the Warriors have officially, I don't want to say worn out their welcome, mm-hmm. but you can tell that they're bored with this now. Yeah. And you can tell, like, I can almost guarantee you that Kevin Durant is going to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how is that guy so unhappy in the greatest situation that mm-hmm. he'll ever stand in?
Yeah.
You know, it's like have you ever had a friend who started two-timing on his wife and you really, really liked the wife and you just sort of lost faith in your friend because you just thought, you know, his biggest flaw is that he can't recognize a good thing that he's standing in.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're just going to, you know, even though you're with a great girl, but you spend the entire night looking around the bar for someone else, well, there's someone who's never going to be happy when their head hits the pillow at night.
Yeah.
And I just think that's who Kevin Durant is. I think he's mercurial. I think he is way too deep in social media. And if he thinks that he is going to become a happier person signing up for a loser franchise with a brutal media market, you know, i.e. the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, buddy. Go try that.
No doubt.
If that's what you're interested in, go for it.
Damon, you never disappoint. Thank you so much for coming on.
Great stuff, man.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Gentlemen, have a great day.
You too.
That is Damon Bruce from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. So many storylines coming out of that market. We thought we'd check in with him today. I'm sure we'll talk to him again during the Warriors' run to a possible championship again as well.